Psalm 91, known as the Soldier's Psalm. He that dwells in the secret place of Elyon, who abides under the shadow of the Shaddai, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of a trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the morally wrong. Because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Elyon, your dwelling place. No evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent. For he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lion and cobra, young lion and jackal you trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I deliver him. I set him on high because he has known my name. When he calls on me, I answer him. I am with him in distress. I deliver him and honor him. With long life I fill him and show him my deliverance.
Lift, lift, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip, 2, 3, 4, lift, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, he's our King.
We love Yahweh, he's our King.
To his glory we now sing.
To his glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip. Hip, 2, 3, 4, hip.
All right, soldiers of Yahweh, this is your wake-up call. And this wake-up call is for the 25th of January, 2018. I'm Pastor Steve, and I'm going to do something a little different today. There's a poem by George Lincoln Rockwell. Was last published in 1952, and the Heretical Press, and it was also published previously to that in Two Forbidden Voices, and that's now out of print. It was from back in the 50s, 1950s. It's called The Fable of the Ducks and the Hens, and it is applicable to today. Way back then, 50 1950s. That'd be the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. And here we are, 2018. That's quite some time ago. Yet it is timely today. Mr. Rockwell pretty well nailed it. And until all of this is resolved, it's going to be pertinent. I'm going to go a little slow so you can get the flavor of it. We're not in a hurry. But pay attention, and because I'm going to do my little take on it after I get done reading it. Let's get started with the fable of the ducks and the hens. Many, many years ago, when animals could speak, a wondrous thing the ducks befell. Their tail is quite unique. Down by a pond dwelt all these ducks, 10,000 at the least. Their duckish joys were undisturbed by any man or beast. One day down near the entrance gate there was an awful din. 100 hens, all out of breath, were begging to come in.
"Oh, let us in," these poor birds cried, "before we do expire. 'Tis only by the merest inch that we escape the fire."
Their feathers burned, their combs a droop. They were the saddest sight. They'd run 100 miles or more all day and then all night. "Come in, come in," the ducks all quacked, "for you our hearts do bleed. We'll share our happy lot with you. Just tell us what you need." And so these poor bedraggled hens amongst the ducks moved in. "For after all," the ducks declared, "we're sisters neath the skin." Before too many months had lapsed, the hens were good as new. They sent for all their rooster friends, and those were welcome too. To please their host, these chickens tried to waddle and to quack. To simulate the duckish ways, they quickly learned the knack. This pleased the flock of ducks because it gratified their pride. But hear my tale and learn how they got taken for a ride. The ducks, it seemed, spent all their time in fixing up the place, in growing food and building homes and cleaning every space. They asked the hens what they would do to earn their daily bread.
"We'll teach and write and entertain and buy and sell," they said.
And so these hens began to teach the baby ducks and chicks. They traded food and eggs and things with many clever tricks. They wrote great books and put on shows. Of genius they'd no lack. It wasn't long till chickens owned the duck-filled daily quack. One day, a mother duck who took her ducklings to the lake was flabbergasted when one said, "A swim I will not take." "Why, ducklings always swim," she gasped. "It's what you're built to do, like bunnies hop and crickets chirp and cows most always moo.
"You're nuts," her son replied. "That stuff is all old hat. It's wrong for birds to swim. Besides, it's damn cold on my prat."
"Oh, fie," the mother duck exclaimed. "You're talking like a fool."
Up quacked the other ducklings then. "He's right. We learned it in school."
"Such things must stop," the mother cried. "Those hens can't tell such lies for sheer ingratitude and nerve. I'm sure this takes the prize." But she was wrong, for even then the hens did thump the tub, demanding they'd be let into the Duckville Swimming Club.
"But you don't swim," the ducks exclaimed. "To join, why should you care?"
"That's not the point," the hens replied. "To exclude us isn't fair."
The younger ducks, who'd been to school, agreed, right there and then, "To keep them out is bigotry. 'Twould just be anti-hen." Outnumbered by the younger ducks, the old ducks soon did lose. The hens could join the swimming club if they would pay the dues. That night, the Duckville Daily Quack contained this banner spread: "Reactionary ducks are licked. Duckville moves ahead." Down at the Duckville Gaiety, the young set laughed with glee at cracks about old Fuddy Ducks in burlesque repartee. Next day, the hens were at the club. A petition they'd sent round, they objected to the swimming fund with fury and with sound.
"You use our dues to fix the pond to keep it neat and trim. And this is wrong," they said, "because you know we do not swim."
"God help us," cried a wise old duck. "These chickens have gone mad. We'll take this thing to court, by George, and justice will be had." But when they went before the judge, imagine their dismay. A chicken judge decreed that they a heavy fine must pay.
"Minorities must have their rights,"
the judge declared right then.
"To use hens' dues to fix the pond is very anti-hen."
Once more, the Duckville Daily Quack emblazoned across the page: "Old Fuddy Ducks refuse to see the great new coming age." In Duckville's church on Sunday morn, the preacher spoke these words: "Discrimination's got to stop. Remember, we're all birds." The wisest duck in all the town sat down in black despair. "I'll write a book," he thought, "and then this madness I will bear. Let swimmers swim, let hoppers hop. Let each go his own way. Let none coerce a fellow bird," was what he had to say. 'Twas wrong to force the hens to swim, so here's the problem's crux. It's just as bad for hens to try to chickenize our ducks.
"I can't print that," the printer said. "'Twill put me in a mess. My shop is mortgaged to the hens. The chickens own my press.
This worried duck then tried to warn his friends by speech and pen. But young ducks fresh from school just jeered, "He's a vicious anti-hen." Now up the stream a little way was Gooseville on the lake. The hens had come to Gooseville too, but the geese were more awake. When the hens began to spoil the young and Gooseville's laws to flout, the geese rose up in righteous wrath and simply threw them out. Of course you know where they all ran. On Duckville they converged.
"We've got to take these refugees,"
was what the hens all urged. The Duckville Daily Quack declared, "Those geese will stop at naught. They plan to conquer all the world. Atrocities they've wrought." "That's right," the young ducks all agreed. "We'll help our fellow birds. Those geese have plans to conquer us. We've read the quack's own words." They let the hens from Gooseville in, the whole bedraggled pack, and every hen took up a job on Duckville's Daily Quack. When Duckville's mayor's term was up, the quack put up its duck. A vain and stupid duck was he, a veritable cluck. But when he praised the wild young ducks and cursed the evil geese, the quack declared he was all wise. His praise would never cease. The hens chipped in to help this cluck give grain away for free. The old ducks sadly shook their heads. The writing they could see. And sure enough, this stupid duck, he was elected mayor. From this point on, the Duckville ducks, they never had a prayer. The mayor said, "Gooseville must go. We'll wipe them off the map." While Duckville slept, the scheming hens for Gooseville set a trap. They called the geese by filthy names. They filled their ponds with sticks. They helped the weasels catch the geese and other hennish tricks. The geese got mad and threw some rocks. "It's war," the quack announced. "We ducks must fight those evil geese till they've been soundly trounced." The ducks, who knew not of the tricks indulged in by the mayor, were filled with patriotic zeal and pitched right in for fair. Now when the ducks had whipped the geese, the mayor called retreat. Our Henville friends should really take Gooseville's big main street. The hens are back in Gooseville now. They starved and beat the geese. They prayed for peace, but organized the Henville Armed Police. They drained the Gooseville swimming pond and de-goosified the schools. They wrung the neck of Gooseville's mayor on lately made up rules. They formed a council of the hens. United Birds, the name. The other birds who joined the thing did not perceive the game. No sooner had they set this up than they announced their plan to seize up Swanville as a home for all their hennish clan. They took a vote amongst themselves, and everyone approved.
Swineville was for hens, they said, way back before we moved.
And so they kicked the swans all out, with Duckville's help and power. And Duckville could not understand why swans on them turned sour. By this time, Duckville was a mess. The young ducks had gone mad. They stole and laughed at truth and law. They'd gone completely bad. The hens were selling loco weed in every nasty den, but ducks who dared to mention this were labeled anti-hen. The hens all preached of tolerance. They invoked the golden rule, but they subsidized the indigent, the greedy, and the fool. At last, the very dumbest ducks began to smell a rat. "This mare is no good," they cried, "and we will soon fix that." But the hens had planned for even this. A candidate they had, whom even wise old ducks believed just never could be bad. This hen-tool duck had whipped the geese. A soldier duck was he. Although the hens had set him up, the ducks all thought him free. This hen-tool got elected through ignorance and greed, through hennish lies in press and speech, and bribes of chicken feed. The hens now kicked the ducks around without a blush of shame, until the mayor ran the town in nothing else but name. They pumped the swimming pond all dry. They taught the ducks to crow. While duckish numbers dwindled, the hens began to grow. The hens stirred up the happy crows from out the piney wood to fight and mix and marry ducks in the name of brotherhood. Things got so bad that 50 ducks, who knew of days gone by, took up their wives and children and decided that they'd fly. They flew through storm and tempest. They froze and many died. But on they drove until at last a lovely lake they spied. They settled down exhausted, but soon went straight to work to build and clear and cultivate. No danger did they shirk. Now, after many years of toil, this little band had grown. The fields around were full of grain from seeds that they had sown. The first ducks now were long since dead. Their struggles long had ceased. Through hard work and through suffering, their joys had been increased. One day, down near the entrance gate, there was an awful din. 100 hens, all out of breath, were begging to come in.
"Oh, let us in," these poor birds cried, "before we do expire. 'Tis only by the merest inch."
This epic has no end, because no matter how you fight 'em, those hens will show up every time. And so, ad infinitum. That's by George Lincoln Rockwell. That's a dandy. I had to go through it several times because I'd get right in the middle of the whole thing and I'd mess up. I had to re-record it. But it was worth it. We're looking at a historical work here by a historical figure who warned the white race years ago, way, way back when I was just a baby. I'm a baby boomer. I was born in 47, and he did this in 52. You know, and everybody was back from the war with all the war propaganda. About the evil Germans and the Nazis. All those Nazis. Well, they destroyed Germany. They brought the Soviets in. They did all that stuff. We had the quote-unquote Cold War for many years. Now look at Germany. You got Merkel over there. And immigrants rioting and raping and robbing and murdering. And you have it in France. And you got it in Sweden. All of Europe. We've got it here. There are cities in the United States that have no go zones because of these immigrants. We had all white nations before. And that was the Dukish joy that they were talking about. Get another sip of this tea. It's starting to get cold. Because I just didn't want to quit reading. And all these hens, these are crying immigrants, and the frozen chosen. We were warned by Benjamin Franklin in the C. Hinckley papers to exclude them. We didn't do it. Okay, they have financed both sides of every war we've ever fought in the United States. All the wars, they have been financing both sides. And then whatever country loses, first of all, they get to sell lots of munitions. Then they get to loot and gut the losing country. And they own construction companies to rebuild. The corporations, they're hidden in the corporations. So war is a hugely profitable business. Highly immoral. All these wars, oh, they're this and they're that. And we're fighting for freedom. Freedom for who? The only freedom that's worth anything is freedom from these parasites. But they bought into the Duckville Daily Quack. They own it. There's a chicken judge up on the bench that's going to rule against the ducks. You getting the drift? I hope. I mean, this poem is classic. It's wonderful. And it's just as pertinent today as it was when the man wrote it. And we have the bleeding heart. Ducks. Oh, for you our hearts to bleed. We'll share our happy lot with you. Just tell us what you need. We're sisters neath the skin. We're all the same. We're all brothers. And you hear that from the preachers. All men are brothers. No, they're not. All bipedal hominids are not racial kindred. And the chickens tried to emulate the ducks because it gratified their pride. Oh, look, they're trying to assimilate. For a little while. But they cannot assimilate. That's the whole point. No matter how they try, they can't assimilate because they're not us. They cannot, even by legislation, become us. They were not designed to be us. Chickens and ducks are different species. When are our people going to realize that Yahweh's laws have dictated that we do not mix or mingle with other species? Each kind unto its kind. Each species unto its species, actually. And the reason we are in trouble today, and have been in trouble for some time, because we're violating Yahweh's laws. You know, we keep trying to make Yahweh come down to our level so we can manage the Supreme Being. It's not going to work. Ah, mint tea. It is our rebelliousness against Yahweh that got us into trouble and has continued our trouble. Now, we have a remnant today amongst Christian identity. And quite honestly, it's the only thing I see in this world that has a small remnant. We are not huge. We are not trying to form an army and overthrow anybody. We are trying to obey the laws given to us in the scriptures, which sets us apart from the mass of humanity that just does not care. They don't care about Yahweh's laws at all. They ignore them. They're into what's happening now. They're into stuff. They worship the great God stuff. He who dies with the most toys wins. Oh, please. And then there's the counter argument. Well, have you ever seen a hearse on the back of it with a U-Haul taking his stuff with him? No. And your greedy relatives and everybody else will fight over everything when you're gone. Can't get you in the ground fast enough. Now, the white race will all be resurrected.
That's what the scripture says. Now, all the Judeo-Christians, all many, they saved everybody. But Yeshua, Messiah himself said, I don't come except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm sorry. It's exclusionary. No matter how much they preach these lies to get these dupes in their churches to put money in the collection plate, the fact remains that Yeshua did not come except for the Israelites. And if you trace the history of who the Israelites are, it's the Caucasian people, the white race. It's not any of the others. And any admixture of any other race to the white race negates their whiteness. Well, I'm mostly white. My grandmama was a mulatto, but I look white. Well, you look white. That's nice. Oh, but you're a hater, Steve. No, I don't hate the people. They're not responsible for their bloodline. They were born a little bitty baby. They didn't have any say in anything. And if that person acts right, I'm going to treat them right. I'm not going to be hateful. Okay? I don't mix or mingle outside of my race. I really don't. But I'm not mean to everybody. I'm not hateful. I'm not running around just yelling stuff and signs and I hate this, and I don't have time for that. I need to get my life right with Yahweh. That's the important thing. And brothers and sisters, that's what you need to do. Okay, you can keep all this stuff on the back burner. You can be aware that there are enemies out there. But the first order of business that we as Israelites must take care of right now is getting right with Yahweh. We are seriously running short on time. We're running out of time. And it's like the story of the virgins. They were caught without their lamp oil and they were shut out. Oh, I believe. Well, what do you do with your belief? That's what Yahweh looks at. It's all well and good that you believe. That's great. I'm glad. But what do you do with it? That is what he is going to examine on Judgment Day. What do you do with it? Do you speak of it to other people? Oh, I don't know. I might get fired. You might get fired. And if you suffer in the name of Yahweh because you're witnessing, you don't think Yahweh's going to get you another job, he will give you what you need. Not necessarily what you want. He's not a God of stuff. He's a God of righteousness. And the only reward is for righteousness. Okay? Speak up! The hens were asked what they would do to earn their daily bread. We'll teach and write and entertain and buy and sell, they said. Now, who does that describe? Come on. Come on. I know you want to say it. That's copying David James. I know you want to say it. You can say it to yourself. I don't need to do that on EFR. We know who the enemy is. It's the children of the wicked one. The people that preach the satanic Talmud to their people. I don't need to name names. I don't need to say the J word. I'm going to get away from that. Going to get away from it, pretty much. It's beating a dead horse. We know what they are. We know what they do. We know how evil they are. But on my show, which is this one, I want to teach that we need to get ourselves right. Okay, we know that they're these evil people. We know that they do evil. We know that a lot of our own people are in with them and are traitors. We know all of these negative things. Everybody points out all the negative stuff. Okay, well, it doesn't make it less true. There's negative stuff. And it's a problem. Okay. I'm not denying that. I'm not trying to water it down. But what is that going to do for our people? Now, we have enough people that are bringing that to everybody's attention. I do too. But what is that going to do for your life? To get your life acceptable in the eyes of our Father. That is the more important thing. Getting ourselves. I'm not excluding myself because I teach the word on here. I'm not excluding myself. My biggest enemy is the guy in the mirror. I've said that over and over and over and over. I still have sin in my life. And I preach the word. And I have to fight myself all the time. All the time. It's a constant battle with our own evil inclination. Well, we've got the younger ducks here saying keep them out as bigotry and would just be anti-hen. Who has taken up the mantra? Oh, you're an anti. Why, the younger folks in the communist-inspired colleges. And they're willing to hit you with ball bats and rocks and bags full of urine. And they're willing to do that. That's our own people. Our own people. They are part of a crowd. They feel comfortable in that crowd. They have become herd beasts. They are afraid to step outside of the politically correct rhetoric that is spewed out in the Duckville Daily Quack. The news media. Oh boy. Mainstream media today is an abomination. It just, and so many people read that, and what you see goes into your mind. and they watched the television, of all things. Well, we've seen how the geese rose up and kicked them out. And then they were destroyed. Well, we're seeing another uprising today. And the biggest enemies that we've got as far as mankind are our own people, our own libtard white people that have accepted this flood that has been brought in by the Talmud people, the hidden ones, to flood us with people that are against our own species and want to kill us. They have a religion that preaches killing the infidel, and we're the infidels according to them. We need to be on guard about that. That's going to have to be dealt with. And it's not going to happen peacefully. There's not going to be legislation. They're not going to legislate because the you-know-whos control Congress. House and Senate, they've infiltrated all the parties. They're just not gonna. It's gonna be up to the people because they're gonna break loose in a frenzy of violence. We're going to have to defend. That's a sad point. I'm sorry, you know, but that's a very unpleasant fact that's coming down the pike like a freight train. And if we don't take measures, it's going to run right over the top of us. And they are not going to be merciful. They will not be. They are going to be vicious. You see what they do in the no-go zones to our women. There are others that play the knockout game. They'll hit some old guy on a street corner waiting for a bus just to do it. It's fun to cause pain and suffering and death to other people, to those people. They think that's entertainment. That's going to eventually have to be dealt with. Now what you can say and what you can whine and cry about. I mean, you can just whine and cry all you want, but it doesn't make the truth less the truth because the truth is unpleasant. That's not my fault. That's not your fault. It's their fault. And refusing to recognize facts in the environment that we are entering into today will get you killed. Oh, that you're exaggerating. No, it's all going on all around us. What does it take to wake certain people up? Well, I must say this, some certain people are never going to wake up. They're not going to change. They're going to keep on being ultra-liberal, and there's nothing that we can do to help them. There are some people that are beyond our help. And we need to
Take a deep breath and just realize that and move on. We cannot continue in the vein that we are going into. It has to be stopped sometime. Things will develop. We're seeing changes daily. We are seeing a semi-awakening. We're hearing promises, but we are not seeing fulfillment of those promises from the United States government. We are seeing a total breakdown of order in some of the European countries. The police have become the enemy. They are protecting these violent people. They're defending them. They're protecting them. If you fight back, you'll be going to prison. If you say anything about it, you'll be going to prison. This is happening now. This is not fantasy. This is not coming. It's here. To continue to be in absolute denial is suicidal. I hate to say that, but it is. It's suicidal. If you don't prepare I can't get a gun. Well, you can make other things to save your own life. You won't save your own life. You won't save the life of your family. You're just going to sit back and let them do whatever they want. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not in agreement with that. I'm not saying go out and attack. But I'm saying don't sit there and let vicious, violent people run over the top of you. You can at least take one or two down. And they are cowardly. If you take a couple of them out, the rest are going to run. Because they run in packs like vicious, rabid dogs. What can you do? You're going to have to prepare spiritually and physically. I say this all the time. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But maybe one will hear me out there and start to get off their dead duff and do something. You can have all the faith in the world, but it's going to require works on your part too. Scripture says that. You can't wait on everybody else to bail you out. You're going to have to start getting ready to take care of yourself. And Yahweh will help you if you are faithful and you are doing it in His name and you are doing it right and you tailor your life. You change your life to match what Yahweh has to say. And if you don't want to follow Yahweh's word, then He's just not going to be with you. Now, what can I say about that? Is that cruel on His part? No. He's given us plenty of warning. He's given us an out through Yeshua Messiah. He's given us the Holy Book to give us a plan of action in our lives. And if we won't follow it, that's on us. Well, I hear the housing authority coming around. I guess they're going to do a bug check. I don't really want to stop the recording at this point. We're a couple of minutes out. But it looks like I may have to. They're going around checking apartments, and they don't need to check mine. Mine is spotless, but that's neither here nor there. I'm about done with today's sermon, and I really don't want to just ramble on. So I'm going to cut it off a couple of minutes early, and we can put some music in or something. I'll talk to you again next week, and I'll talk to you on the Word for Word shows. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and praise Yahweh, follow His commandments and our lives. Shalom Aleichem.
Left. 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 Hip, 2, 3, 4. Hip, 2, 3, 4. Left. Hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip. Hip, 2, 3, 4, hip.
You are listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network, a voice for European people worldwide. Psalm number 2, concerning the Anointed One. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the land set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against His Anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the sky shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the land for thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you rulers of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled.